Welcome back to the podcast. Gabe, Giannis, and I, we're back on the mic talking about the Yeti question of the week. This idea of what are the NC Fit core values? We definitely dive into that. Talk about the Two Brain Business Summit that I was just at along with Gabe and MDV, the workouts we put coaches through, and some of our takeaways along that journey. Finish up by talking about this idea of discipline buckets. And I was talking about how I have to go finish a workout right now. And it really kind of struck this concept of how much discipline do you have in a day? Are you using that discipline towards things you like to use it towards? Or is there other areas you can maybe improve and become more efficient on? So definitely stay tuned for this entire conversation. Always love talking to Gabe. Really appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. Simple ask, share with a friend if you get value, leave a rating, leave a review, and make sure to check us out online. Let's get it.
We're pretty cool.
Yeah, so Sal Frazella actually, from First Form, they sent out I'm calling it a bug out bag, but I'm sure there's a more appropriate term, from Uncharted Supply Co. And this thing's got everything you could think of, dude, like, you know, food, water, medical, you name it. And you just keep it in a waterproof bag, in your truck, and then it's good to go. So yeah, just got one of those the other day. Thought I'd give them a shout out because they make a cool product. If people are interested in getting that type of gear, I thought it was well made. So Uncharted Supply Co. But what's up with you?
The important thing with that stuff though is that, like, you have to know how to use it. You know,
should we not just get it? Yeah, I'm looking at the first aid warmth. I mean, there's some stuff that's pretty self-explanatory, right? But some is
right. But I think that, like, even just familiarizing yourself with that stuff, I think this goes into a lot of, like, you know, we've talked about, and I know I took that sheepdog course, and I mean, you can have all that, but, like, a lot of people, I feel like it becomes a shortcut to, do you know what's in it? Do you know if anything in there needs to be replaced and when? Do you ever go through, like, where it is? How quickly can you access it? Like, that stuff is awesome. And I think that, you know, people should definitely look into it. And it's definitely some stuff that, like, I've thought about, and we have some stuff, but I think that it goes, sometimes people don't focus on, like, how often are you, like, thinking about it, training with it, if it's something you need to train with, right? Like, you know, we talk about this sometimes with firearms. Like, some people feel like, oh, just having a firearm for protection is protection. Do you train with it? Like, are you, like, capable of using it also when, like, you know, if God forbid you end up having to use something like that, it's not going to be in, like, a super chill setting where you could be like, oh, like, am I supposed to do this or do that? Like, no, it's going to be like fight or flight, like super elevated, stress tested, like you said, you know, when you went and did your leadership training. So I think a lot of people just don't realize that when it does come to some of this stuff of, like, you know, self-defense, you know, being prepared, so on and so forth, it's not just the thing. It's like, do you train with a thing? Are you, like, capable of using it? And do you go through that on, like, a recurring basis? Because, you know, hey man, if shit does hit the fan, like, having the thing isn't going to be what saves you.
Yeah. I mean, the inspiration for that, I mean, if you look at guys like Tim Kennedy and a bunch of others, I mean, they're constantly training for the, like, you know, in the CrossFit Games, it's like the unknown and the unknowable, which is like a sport and it's great. It's fine. But there are some unknowns, right? You never know. I saw a video pop up. I don't know if it was Tim or Henner Gracie put it up. And basically this person did a nice job with good situational awareness. Three guys were trying to basically rob her. She ended up having a pistol, but she just had great situational awareness and she was able to get these guys away. And it just goes to show that, like, the more you train, the better off you're going to be. It doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, rock solid, but yeah, like you said, now that's the next step for me, is like looking at the gear list that I have and do I know how to appropriately manage it? You know, like, I did the first aid kit with the Santa Clara PD not too long ago, learned about pressure testing and tourniquet and that kind of stuff. But there's a lot to learn when it comes to stuff like that. And I think that earned confidence feels good. You know, this is a random story. I was at my in-laws house and we were having a party. This is not too long ago. And one of the gentlemen there ended up, like, not looking good. And he's sitting on this chair and he's kind of like, eyes start going back in his head, like, does not look good. And so we're like, oh boy. And so me and another guy there who happens to be a firefighter walk over to him. And you just see this guy go into like work mode, and he's been in that situation so many times. He has that confidence that I don't have. Right. And so I'm like, hey, do you want me to call 911? The guy's like, yes. And so I call 911. I'm like, whatever. And long and short of it though, this guy's in the chair. And the first thing that my buddy told me to do is like, let's get him down to the ground and put him in like this fetal position. And I just wouldn't have thought to doing that. And it turned out that was the right move, because then he ended up, you know, getting sick and it ended up being fine. But if he was on the chair, he would have been at jeopardy of falling over. But because my buddy had been through this tons of times and been through those experiences, he was more prepared when there was actually an emergency, which, you know, he also called out the fact that my 911 skills were not perfect. So that's something that I think, looking back on it, I need to reflect on, is like, how could I have called and been more like specific about what I said and how I said it to get help there quicker?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, right. And again, there is so much to learn. And, you know, I don't think people have to go out there and be, you know, like perfect, you know, have perfect marksmanship and be a trained paramedic and so on and so forth. However, I think that if you are going to invest in something like, you know, the bag that you mentioned and a bunch of gear, like there just is another side to it that I think people should be cognizant of. And I think the firearm thing is a really big thing, yeah. You know, because it's not, you know, a blanket of safety to just have a weapon if you don't know how to use it, if you're not training, especially because people don't realize like when you might have to end up using that is not going to be, like I said before, you know, somewhere where you're like super calm and can like think about how you're going to use this thing. So just something to keep in mind.
If anything, it's actually more of a liability if you're not trained, if you're not appropriately comfortable with the
100%.
Yeah. I mean, I finally got Caden. So yesterday we cut down this tree and now he's carving it and just, dude, he's just carving it and carving it and carving it. And so I remember those days when I was a kid, man, just loving to carve wood. And now it's cool to see him, but trying to teach him the foundations of like driving the knife away from you obviously is an important factor. So yeah. Anyways, that's, dude, I just got back. This is kind of cool. I just got back from a buddy's gym, and at this gym, he purchases equipment, and he basically gave to me thousands and thousands of pounds of bumper plates to give local law enforcement and fire department. So, you know, probably by the time this releases, it's going to be all gone, but I put out something on social media. I've gotten some great response so far just to donate some of those plates to the different departments. And I think the reason why I'm bringing this up is because there are a lot of departments out there who are inspired to get gear, to get fitter. And I think sometimes we don't give credit enough to the people who are out there crushing it in the gym. There's a lot of people who aren't, but there are a lot of people who are. And so I just want to give a shout out to all the LEO military fire out there who are doing that, because I got hit up by a variety of departments who are just excited to get gear. So I'm looking forward to bringing it to them.
Yeah. Not pushback, but I guess on the flip side though, you don't need gear to have a, you don't necessarily need a lot of gear to have a baseline of fitness, especially what you would need in LEO and being a protector. And I think that, again, it's almost like the same theme of like, you know, you're not going to get all these plates into your gym and like immediately you're going to be fitter. You got to use the damn plates. You got to use the weights. You got to get after it. You got to make sure you're consistent. You got to make sure you're also focusing on your nutrition. So again, not to be like, I feel like the Debbie Downer on all these things that you're bringing up, but that's all well and good. But even if there's someone out there that wants to improve their fitness, you don't need someone to donate plates or you to go buy plates for it. You can get pretty fit without absolutely anything.
Yeah. Hey, very true. Speaking of plates, how'd you like my playground overhead squat clean with a plate? So
yeah, I'm so glad you brought up the two brain workout, because I'm actually going to give you a hard time about something here in a bit.
Oh boy. So for a fact, you know, a lot of the people at this event that we were just in Chicago, many of them are gym owners and coaches. And I'd say about 50% of them, give or take, Gabe, had never done a plate squat clean. And so for those who have never done it, look, it's very similar to a med ball clean, very similar to a squat clean with a barbell. But the fact that you could use a plate in a variety of different ways was one of the things I wanted to show. We had about 100 people per class, two classes a day, early morning, and a plate squat clean. If you haven't tried it, your thumb faces forward and you drive the plate up, and then you basically move your hands to get underneath it. Instead of curling it, you pull yourself underneath it. So if you haven't tried a plate squat clean, it's a cool movement, especially if you have a big class with limited gear. That was one of the movements we incorporated with this group.
Yeah, and we had to do that, not had to, but it was a good idea the second day, because if no one's ever been a part of like one of Jason's big workouts at an event, plate ground overhead and burpee is the combo that you will see 9 times out of 10. So we used that the first day. And because a lot of people were coming back the second day, Jason had to get creative, which is why we got to the plate squat clean, which was a cool movement. I think it's, you know, not the way that I would use a plate first. I think that plate ground overhead is obviously just simpler movement, really good mover, you know, external load, going a long distance quickly, all that good stuff. Combine that with a burpee and you get a pretty good combo. But it was a cool movement. And it was interesting for people to realize that even though they've probably been in the game for years, because I think everyone in there has, no one in there was like brand new, you could be faced with a movement that you haven't seen before. And I think them having to go through that was a cool element to that experience for sure.
Yeah. And so just to put some more color on this, Gabe, myself and MDV went out to Two Brain Business Summit in Chicago. And I thought it was pretty incredible. There was about 700 gym owners and coaches there. I spoke on day one about forging elite leadership, and MDV and I spoke the second day on coaching like a pro. And Gabe and all of us ran workouts in the mornings, 5 and 6 a.m. And, you know, when I was looking at this class, I wanted to accommodate originally 75 people. We ended up pushing it to 100, but I was thinking about what type of gear could we bring there that was going to be easy for, you know, just easy to bring, easy to offload, et cetera. And so I thought a plate would be the easiest thing. And I think it was. And part of it, Gabe, a plate squat clean is not my favorite movement with a plate at all, not even close, but I wanted to hit that target. Like what you said, whereas you're taking the group through, I wanted them to see how I could teach them layering. So I taught them the deadlift, then I taught them the front squat, then I taught them a pull under, then I taught them the full clean. It was a nice way for me to show layering and progression and movement that I thought they could take back to their gym. So that was the reason why I used that. I didn't think it was like the greatest movement in the world to add in, but I wanted to layer it in so that they saw a level of complexity and had to incorporate it.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up on your own without me asking you how many people signed up and then how many people showed up on the second day.
Well, because I know that you don't think it's as big of a deal, and you know that I think it's a big deal.
That's why I want to talk about it. So a little bit of background. So the event is Saturday, Sunday is like the formal event. Most people are probably flying in on Friday. And like Jason said, we had two heats on both mornings, a 5:10 heat and a 6 o'clock heat. So it's 5:10 in the morning and 6 o'clock, because they were 45-minute classes. And originally, they were going to be capped at like 75 people. And I think we had most people that signed up for the class show up on the first day. And then on the second day, we wanted to get more people in the door. So we were like, hey, raise the cap, quote unquote, to 100 people. And we only had, I think for the 5:10, correct me if I'm wrong, like 60 people show up.
Yeah, it was like 64 and then 84.
Right. So it was, you know, 30 something people that signed up and didn't show up on that second day. Jason didn't like that. He's brought up this example many times. I'll let you say your piece about why you thought it was such a big deal. I think I see your side, but I think there's an interesting debate. And I still don't think that in the circumstance that we were in, I don't think it was that big a deal.
So just for the clarity's sake, you know, when we think about what a big deal is, this in the grand scheme of things is not a big deal at all in terms of like life's, you know, big deal.
Of course. No, of course. But
that being said, it was a lesson. So I have the numbers here, but basically on day one, we capped it at 75 and 75. And you know, what's unfortunate. And on day two, we had 100 and we hit capacity on both days in terms of registrations. And what's unfortunate is that I heard from people who wanted to register for class or who tried to, and they couldn't get into class because it was full. And so these people who registered and didn't show up, three things really bothered me with that. Number one is that you're taking somebody else's spot away who could have came in and done it. That sucks. And if you're a gym owner and you run classes, you don't want that either, right? And that's number one. And especially coming from a gym or a coach, like that sucks. So number one is that you took someone's spot. Number two is that you're a gym owner, you're a coach, and you should be inspired to get after it. Like, you're at this event, you should be putting in the hard work, because it translates into everything else you're doing. And thirdly, this is the most important, is that you're at this event as to betterment your business and yourself. And you're making commitments throughout that weekend that you're going to take home to your business. And as a leader, you're trying to make changes, whatever they are, whether it's buying back more time, focusing on your leadership skills, or a slew of other things that they talked about. My question is, if you were prepared to commit for a class in the morning, and then, you know, you wanted to sleep in, maybe you went out at night, had a couple of too many drinks, and you didn't want to go, that's your prerogative, and you're a grown adult, and you should do whatever you want. And nor would I ever say anything to anybody who showed up late and had them do a burpee penalty. That's not my style. Like, dude, you're a grown adult. If you don't want to show up, that's fine. But I think you need to look in the mirror and say, hey, by me subconsciously or consciously not showing up, what else am I going to make a commitment to this weekend that I'm not going to follow through with? How I'm doing this could carry over to another lesson. So those are my three reasons why it was frustrating for me. But at the end of the day, these people are grown adults. They paid hard-earned money and they took their time, and they could do whatever the hell they want.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the first point is the most valid, right? Like, if there were people that literally, you know, we're really looking forward to having a workout experience with you and got to sign you up and we're like, damn, this thing is sold out. Like, I can't go. That's a shame. And if people took the spot away from them, I think that, you know, that does suck. Like you said, I don't think it's a big deal, because I like just the vibes of the way it was set up. Like, it was very much not like a, hey, you booked a spot for heat two of like taking the floor at the CrossFit Games for a spectator workout where, like, you know, there's clearly a bike, a lane, and a barbell set up for you. It was kind of very much like a, hey, you know, come down to where all the equipment is. And I even heard you say a couple of times, like, come down, we'll make it work. So yes, in principle, like, you're taking a spot from someone, that sucks. And I think that that's the biggest argument for being a big deal for people not showing up. I do think though that, you know, in many respects, and I've kind of done a 180 on some of this stuff, and to me, this might not be the best analogy, but just bear with me for a second. You know, for a while, there was this like very big, you know, it was kind of in vogue, the whole like do your bed thing in the morning, right?
Oh, yeah,
and
make your bed.
It being like super important, because like, you know, it's a win in the beginning of the day and so on and so forth. And I think that I've kind of evolved over the years to really start to think about, you know, it's not about doing everything and doing these commitments, but it's really about doing the things that move the needle and being practical about those things and having flexibility. This is something we talked about on the podcast before, you know, like, I think we all have, yeah, we all have a certain amount of discipline that we can use. And at the end of the day, like, I could see a lot of people, you know, like, hey, you bite off a little bit more than you can chew. You come out to these events, you're super excited. You're like, hey, I'm going to listen to every speaker. I'm going to take all these notes, and I'm going to work out with Jason Kalip at 5:10. And I think if some people, and I'm not sure how many of this applies to, but I do think that there are some, I think some people, especially given that audience, you know, like, you get to the second day, you're like, hey man, like, I was pretty tired today. Like, I'm trying to take advantage of these speakers and really pay attention and be present during the business part, because that's what I came for. Like, do I really need to work out on a Sunday? Like, you know, in the morning, like, I wanted to, but I think I'm going to sleep in and like try and be more present once I get down there to the actual speakers. And again, I'm not saying that that's the case for everyone, but for anyone that that was the case, like, I think that that's actually making the right and mature call, because sometimes, especially in our space, I feel like there's, I don't want to say too much value on like, you have to work out all the time, but there's almost too much value to like, you have to work out all the time. You know, like, we're business owners. Like, that's important, sure. And like, you have to lead by example and live the fitness brand that you breed. But if you're at a summit that's supposed to help you like better your business, I'd rather you be much more present and really like get takeaways from the speakers and the people that are, you know, like giving you tactical things to take than do two workouts with us, especially if you came the first workout and you didn't come the other one, because I do think there was a lot of value aside from just working out with you. You know, I think you did speak on a bunch of things. You had the layering, for example. So that's why, again, and this is partly me just giving you a hard time, kind of why I thought it wasn't as big of a deal. And I think that what I kind of wanted to talk to you a little bit more about is, I think there's this idea of like things that are in vogue that you should be doing because that's like what you do to quote unquote be successful. And sometimes people get so caught up in those things that they then don't have energy to do the actual things that move the ball forward.
Yeah. I mean, Hormozy, I think, was talking about this with morning routines the other day. So today, this morning, I did go in the cold plunge. I have not been as committed to it as I'd like to. Ava still, dude, every day. But today I was in it. And, you know, the discipline bucket analogy, I just think hits for me. Like, you only have so much discipline that you can work through. And you got to be sensitive to that. You know, like for me, there's just certain things that I know, like I'll have like a lot of discipline in certain areas. In other areas, I just can't take it on, right? So when I go to these events, I know that I'm leaving my family and our business, maybe not the business, but I'm leaving my family. And so as soon as I get on that plane, my mindset is very much so like one track mind. And, but that's just me because I've developed maybe that discipline over years and years and years. And other people might be in a different case. But for me, it's like, if you're going to prioritize an event like that from sunrise to sunset, you should be all in all the time. And then you can sleep the next day when you get back. And, but I understand that not everybody's there and they might have other disciplines that I'm unaware of. So I think the discipline bucket fits well with that example that you're talking about.
I also think that like, in, especially in our space, like we conflate how much discipline it takes to do the things that like have either already been a habit or we just enjoy. We enjoy working out. I think that for you to say, for us to say, me included, that I'm so disciplined because I work out 5 times a week, like that's not discipline. Like for me, if anything, discipline would be like, hey, like my knee actually really hurts. And I had the discipline to take 2 weeks completely off instead of having to scratch the itch of like, I just have to get into the gym. And I did the right thing to heal quicker so I can enjoy this exercise thing that I love so much, much more in the long term. Something that I've struggled with in the past, something I know you've struggled with. I think that there's that conflating of discipline always mean like doing the thing, when sometimes for people it's not doing the thing that is actually what would take most discipline and objectively is the right thing that you should do or not do.
Well, I think we talked about this last week, but it's like that's going to be hard when I'm in Europe. Same idea. It's like trying not to be as much on these calls for coaching a pro, for example, or whatever. Like that is going to be tougher than being on them for me because I'm just so used to it. It's just fully ingrained in me. Just like you said, like the working out thing, taking time off to recover. It's very, very difficult. I don't really want to do that either. Right now I feel pretty good. Actually been finding a good flow between jiu-jitsu and hitting our workouts here. Hey dude, I hit this workout called Speedboat. Let's stay on the two brain thing. And then we can talk about this. Then we can talk about the tugboat, but yeah, I thought the two brain workouts were great. Shout out to everybody who showed up. Shout out to all the gym owners and coaches who allowed us to speak in front of you. Thank you so much. It was really nice to see how many gym owners use the NC Fit Collective and our session plans and programming. That was great. And I thought that what Two Brain is doing with accountability was the key. You know, if you're a gym owner out there and you're watching this or an entrepreneur in any way, you know, having people hold you more accountable, I think is never a bad thing.
For sure. Yeah, man, it was a really good weekend. It's so interesting, man, because I used to be really different when it came to a lot of these things, like traveling, having to work out, having to be like disciplined with your food when you travel. And I think that what I've realized is that, you know,
Fogo de Chao, baby, Fogo de Chao.
Well, Fogo de Chao is good.
Dude,
man.
Hey, that cheese with the honey on it. Oh, all right, go ahead. Sorry.
The cheese with the honey was unreal. No, just like, you know, like I didn't feel the need to work out at all those 2 days. And actually, like going into it, my plan was not to work out on those 2 days because, dude, traveling and doing everything we're going to do is a lot. Like, we're going to be out late. I'm not sleeping in my own bed. Like, nutrition isn't going to be as good. Like, I got a really good workout in Friday before getting on the plane. And then after that, like, I was like, hey, I'm going to move. And I have my watch that always tells me how many steps I'm taking. And just from the fact that we coached that class in the morning, we were walking around, I average over 12,000 steps both days. In terms of like movement for health, that checks off the list. Like, I don't need to. Whereas in the past, I definitely would have been the person who's like, oh man, like, do you have 20 seconds now? Like, there's gear over there. Let me get a quick AMRAP or EMOM. And I don't think there's anything wrong necessarily with that. But I think that getting to the point now where like, dude, like there's nothing to gain from me actually going out of my way to get a quote unquote workout in when I'm getting movement in that day because I got plenty of steps in. And there's so much other things going on the weekend. Like, I don't necessarily need to deplete my energy by going ahead and doing that. And I just think that that's been a really big, like, sign of, like, you know, maturing a little bit for me specifically, because, you know, it might not be then and there that that's going to have a negative effect. But at the end of the day, like, you kind of end up burning the candle on both ends. You do, especially like the type of training I'm trying to do now. Like, I'm trying to be super, super intentional when I work out, because hypertrophy training requires you to be super, super intentional. Like, in the space, they refer to, like, you know, just doing stuff on the side as garbage reps. And again, it's not that, like, doing movement doesn't have its benefits, but I think it's realizing that getting 12,000 steps is checking off the movement box. And for me to, like, really take advantage of a workout, I'd rather wait until I get back home and not have anything else going on and be able to actually get the stimulus that I want to get, versus trying to, like, you know, get a quick thing in with a barbell and a pull-up bar at a hotel just because, like, I feel like I quote unquote have to work out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just on the other level of that, right? So
sure. Yeah.
I'm on the opposite side, right? So, you know, for me, I'm a big, like, practice what you preach kind of guy. So I tested the workout that I wanted to do on Friday before they did on Saturday. I also tested the one on Saturday that I was going to have them do on Sunday. And then after Sunday, I had like an hour to kill. I went and I hit a pump. For me, like, I don't know.
The best story, my best Jason, one of my favorite Jason stories is you getting a workout in at the shower, at the lounge or the airport.
Oh, dude. Yeah. No, it's a true story. I mean, I was in Asia somewhere and I was coming back and just, dude, I had like a 3-hour layover. Let's get a pump. The oddest part about that, though, is, like, looking back on it now, I don't know what people in line thought I was doing. I mean, I don't know how big of a line it was. I can't remember. But, like, dude, I was in that shower for like 30 minutes, you know, hitting like a 20-minute bodyweight workout and then hitting a shower. If someone was actually waiting, be like, what the hell is this dude doing in there for that 30 minutes? Because there was, like, no toilet or whatever. It was just me in a shower. So anyways, that's another story for another day. But yeah, I mean, I think you recognizing what works for you, I think, is really important. I think everybody needs to do that. For me, you know, like, what works for me is, like, one speed until I get back on the plane. But I also, like, I'm also one of those people that I could sleep on planes. I could sleep really easily at night. So I don't have to worry about those things. If I couldn't, maybe I'd be feeling differently about it.
Yeah. I think that also, like, a part of it is right now training for you is in many ways, like, an outlet for, like, the crazy energy that you have. I think that, like, for me, and honestly, I think for a lot of people out there, like, it goes back to this idea that, you know, came up on the blog and then MDB came out a little while back of, like, activity versus achievement. Like, when it comes to fitness, if your goal is whatever,
yeah,
are you just doing activity or are you achieving what you want to achieve?
Right.
And if people, like, have a very specific goal, whether it's a performance goal, a body composition goal, you know, a lot of the times, you know, you're just doing more stuff for the sake of doing more stuff, but are you actually being intentional, following a program, being good about your rest days, eating the right things to support the type of training you're doing and thinking about all those little things? Or are you just like, hey, well, I work out 7 days a week, but working out 7 days a week means that you're, you know, on your phone during your rests and you're not even, like, paying attention to what it is that you're doing, what it is that you're trying to accomplish, full range of motion, tempo, so on and so forth. And I think that that's a missed opportunity for a lot of people. I don't think it necessarily is for you, because again, I think you're a very unique person that, like, just needs to, like, get an outlet of energy out there. But for a lot of people, I think they equate, like, I'm working out so much, why am I not seeing these results? But okay, you're doing a lot of activity, but are you really doing it in a way that's getting you closer to achievement? I think a lot of people aren't.
You know, it's interesting. Talk about getting energy out. This morning I was taking a bunch of kids, this morning I was at an event for the kids' school and I was running it, and I ran, like, a warm up and then I ran events just to kind of, like, kick off the last day of school type of thing. And these kids were, like, super heated, dude. So there was a team of blue and a team of gold, and they were trying to see who the winners were. And some of these kids, they're very competitive, which is awesome. But we broke them up into six teams. So all the grades were six teams. And we ended up doing a relay as one of the events. And man, it was a knockout relay. So the first team that lost, they knocked out. Second team that lost, knocked out. Third team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what was really interesting about this is that we as a school are encouraging competition. Like, it's okay to get knocked out. But maybe like two or three teams in, like the vibe came like this one kid kind of got isolated as like it was his fault type of thing. And I stopped everybody. I like blew a whistle. I turned off the music. I stopped everybody. And I used it as an opportunity to talk about sportsmanship and how competition and getting after it is so important. But above all else is developing these sportsmanship characteristics at an early age. They're going to carry with you for the rest of your life. But we still want to be competitive. We still want to learn how to win and lose. It was just fresh in my mind because this morning, my major takeaway for the kids. And like then we did a bunch more games. And then before they closed out, I was like, guys, you guys did a really good job today. But let's talk about what we learned. Because I want them to learn how to be competitive. You know, in this world, like not everybody gets a trophy. Like some people are going to win, some people are going to lose. But being good sportsmen, I think, plays in really, really well. I'm not quite sure how I got off on that tangent, but about movement. Oh, because these kids just need to be ran, right? Some of these kids have terrible attention problems like me. And sometimes all they need to do is just get some energy out. That's why, like with the kids before school, getting energy out has been really helpful because, dude, no one's made to sit in a desk for 6 or 8 hours a day without some movement. That sucks. So anyways, I got these kids moving. It was fun. It was good.
I always laugh at the idea of you like leading like small kids through activity because you're something else, dude. And you're also like a physical specimen. It's got to be like hilarious. It's got to be like those, you know, how I feel like there's, I can't name any of these movies, but I feel like there's so many movies where like either The Rock or what's his name? The You Can't See This Guy are like, you know, they're like an elementary school teacher. And that would literally be you.
Remember Arnold Schwarzenegger in like Kindergarten Cop? Do you remember that?
Yes. That's a little before my time, maybe. But I know what you're talking about. Who's the I Can't See This Guy? This is going to drive me nuts. He's done the most Make-A-Wish Foundations granted. He's like pro wrestler. John Cena.
Oh, John Cena. Oh, yeah. He's a behemoth of a man. He is a big man.
Have you met him?
Yeah. He used to come to our gym whenever he was in the Bay Area for wrestling. Dude, big man, biggest hands, big man. Super, super cool. Super, super cool. Yeah, he would.
But yeah, fun fact. He's done by far the most, granted the most Make-A-Wish meetings by far.
That's cool. That's super cool. But yeah, you know, the thing about it with kids is I just want to be able to make an impact, you know? So I command the room, right? I command attention. And I want to impart some basic things like, guys, I love the fact that you're competing. Like, let's go, let's compete. Like, I want you to be competitive, but within a certain channel, right? You can't be screaming at each other and cheating and all this other stuff. Like, that's not acceptable. So those were the pieces we kind of layered in today. But yes, at the kids' school, man, I had this woman come up to me and she's like, you know, I first saw you like a year ago and I walked by and I saw you teaching. I was like, who the hell is this guy? And then I did some research and now I understand, like, you're like in the fitness space, like, because I don't know, whatever. Because, yeah.
You do understand that like 9 out of 10 people probably have that reaction to you when they see you and don't know, and like don't have the context.
Well, and today,
like nine out of 10 people that like experience you without knowing who Jason Khalifa is definitely in their mind are like, who the hell is this guy?
Especially if I have a black eye. I had a little bit of a black eye today. It wasn't bad. But yeah, if you got, yeah, anyways, yeah, but it was a good day, man. It was a good day. You know, kids getting after it. Shout out to all the parents who are getting their kids doing something, whatever that is, right? Sports. You know, we talked on the podcast recently about getting a CrossFit. I think there's definitely a time and a place for that, but using it as a way to well round out your athletes, I think is key. Today I had the kids doing, synchronized up downs, which was pretty cool to like, as a warm up. And that was like a fun warm-up tool instead of like the burpee that we normally do with the adults. So
if you need MDB.
What's that? Oh,
stole
yeah.
Stole that from MDB.
Oh, I totally stole that, dude. Yeah, 100%.
That was cool. We did synchronized up-downs for one of the workouts at the Two Brain Summit. So if you imagine like group of 100 people in sync in groups three, it made for a cool experience. You kind of had to be there. I'm sure that me saying that like synchronized up-downs are super cool. They're probably not super cool, but you have to be there.
Yeah, dude, for sure. I had a Yeti question of the day that I thought we could dive into for a minute. And it's this idea of like, what are the core values of NC Fit? And I think that's it's a pretty strong question. And I think at a high level, NC Fit has evolved a lot over the years, for sure. from CrossFit Santa Clara to then NorCal CrossFit to NC Fit. And we've been NC Fit since 2016. So what is that? 7 years? And so 15 years in business and 7 years as NC Fit. And I think the culture and the core values have shifted over the years. But essentially, our goal is to support as many members as possible through training hard so that they can live free. That's the goal. That's the macro goal is we want people who want to come in, hit it hard. We're not going to be for everybody. And we're okay with that. We're going to be for anybody. Let me rephrase that. We are for anybody. I was talking to a woman yesterday, first day at our gym. We are for anybody who wants to put in their best effort. So if you're willing to put in your best effort, we're for you. But if you're not interested in putting in your best effort, we're probably not the right place. And we're looking to help people live free, to be able to do things outside the gym, be able to keep up with their kids. I put up a post today on social media. I want to be the most jacked, in shape grandpa ever. And I think we should all be aspiring to do that. You know, I want to be able to kick my son's ass in a jiu-jitsu match for as long as possible. That's what I want to do. But to the core values, we have an acronym and it starts off with an N. So for NC Fit, and it's never settle. And I think that's probably the best way to describe our culture and our core values. What do you think, Gabe? I mean, as the first one.
I mean, I think they all are, you know, I don't think it's one first and the other. It's just because it spells out NC Fit, but I wouldn't put any of them over the other. And also, I don't think that, you know, they've shifted over the years, at least in my time here, as much as they've evolved.
Yeah.
Which I think is the difference, right? I don't think we've gone from like, hey, we're about these things over here, and then 180, we're now about these things. I just think that like we've refined and evolved to better, like, you know, nail down what it is that the company and you have always been about.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that if you're not evolving, right, you're going to perish. And we have evolved. So the first, you know, acronym is never settle. And really what that means for me is like have an organization where we're constantly trying to evolve, like Gabe was saying, and refine and simplify and dive deep and just do it well, never settle. And then the next one is going to be like culture first, right? And what we think about that is MDV gave us talk on the theoretical development of a coach where culture and clarity is at the bottom of the pyramid. I think that's a really important component of our business and something we have evolved and trying to get better and better every day with the culture that we're trying to set here at the business and where we want to go in the future. So culture first. So it's never settle, culture first. And then, you know, it was fitness for life, but I actually think it's better to call it train hard, and helping people live free is the F. So free, and free to never allow fitness to inhibit what you want or need to do, I think is a major component of our core values here at NC Fit. I'll pause there for a second.
I'd just like to note that Jason Kalipa just changed NC Fit's core values on a podcast. And that there couldn't be a better example of what working for Jason Kalipa is like. We have to go back to all the internal documents now and change the S to what Jason just said, because he just changed it on a podcast.
Oh shit.
That's like a little window into what it's like to work with Jason for anyone listening out there.
I feel like I need to send Gabe like like a packet of CBD and THC or something like that for all the stress that I put him under.
But yes. Fitness for life, which is very well captured by this idea of training hard to live free.
And then the I is innovation. So that just means we're going to continue to innovate. I think at times it's actually been, even though it's a core value of ours, I think at times we have maybe tried to innovate too much. And I think that we need to learn to innovate and evolve, of course, but not at the expense of doing things that are outside of our core competency. I think that's just something that I've had to reflect on, that innovation is key for our growth, especially being here in the Bay Area. We're surrounded by innovation everywhere we go. But I think that innovating too often doesn't allow you to really create those wedges that are going to make a meaningful difference in people's lives. So that's for the eye. That's kind of my take on it. I don't know if you agree with that, Gabe.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it comes hand in hand with the end and never settle. And I think that, you know, like, yes, at times we maybe have gotten so caught up in quote unquote being innovative that we've gone outside of like our core competency. But, you know, with that said, I think that you kind of have to push the boundaries a little bit, because if you're staying safe the whole time, then you're never going to get to the point where you're finding that like sweet spot of pushing the boundary within your core competency without like going completely outside of it.
Yeah, for sure. And so that's the I, and then T is for teamwork. And that's just teamwork, collaboration, you know, and team first, and making sure we take care of our people. And a good way to think about this, and this I got from the Echelon Front Leadership Summit, so shout out to them one more time, was being the number two man. And I think that when you're entering a building in the military, there's a guy who goes in the front, then a guy right behind him. And I wasn't in the military. This is just through my training. I've been a part of this. Was the one goes to the left, the two goes to the right. And they're basically, their goal is to get the number one guy's back, right? So as they enter one and two. And I think that's a good way for us to think about NC Fit and our core values, is that this is idea of being the two man. So I want to be there to support Gabe as much as possible. I want to be there to support our peers as much as possible. And with that, not only does that build leadership capital, but I think that just kind of starts to evolve the business. So if you think about NC Fit in terms of core values, thank you for your Yeti question of the day. It's never settle, culture first, train hard, live free, or fitness for life, innovation, and then obviously teamwork to settle that out.
On that note of the second man in teamwork, you know, one thing that was one of the most impactful things I ever listened to, and this is from the great Gary Vee. When it comes to like, once you start managing people, you know, like sometimes people think that like the people, quote unquote, under you or on your team, that they work for you, but it's actually the complete opposite. And that's always helped me with my teams and the people that, you know, I'm lucky enough to work with. It's like, my job isn't necessarily to like delegate to the marketing team what they should do for me to reach my goals. My job is to get out of their way and elevate them so that they can do what they do better than I ever could. Like, I work for them in many respects. Like, I should be the one providing trajectory, education, like pushing them to go in the right direction. And they should be the ones that are getting my support, not necessarily the other way around. I'm super lucky that I have, you know, a marketing team that actually makes me look really good, because they're nothing but rock stars. Shout out to Liz and Jordan and, you know, anyone that's been on the marketing team before. But, you know, that's always been super, super helpful for me, is knowing that it's not that, you know, they necessarily work for you. It's you actually work for them. It's up to you to get out of their way and have them do the best job possible, not necessarily have them help you reach your goals.
For sure. For sure. Well, dude, that was a good Yeti question of the day. Thank you for sending that. We'll be putting out some more kind of things on social media. If you guys want to go ahead and hit us up, make sure you guys follow at NC Fit, Gabe Yanez, Jason Kalipa. And, you know, I guess I have some work I need to do today. This hasn't happened to me in a long time. And I'm being honest here. It hasn't. I was doing a workout called Speedboat. I had very limited time. And I looked at the time cap and it said 22 minutes. So I was unloading plates with all the members of the gym. It was badass, dude. We had like a conga line or whatever you call, not conga line, a conveyor line, whatever. And I get done. I'm like, bro, I got to hit a workout. And so I chose this workout called Speedboat, which is 200 cal row, 100 tota bar, and 75 hang snatches at 115. And you could partition it however you want, but I wanted to go straight through, just 200, 100, 75. Well, turns out the clock is still running on my workout currently, because I got pulled into another meeting and I am currently on 40 toes to bar, but I did it straight through. So I did 200 cal row. I finished like in 950. And then I got 40 toes bar, but I need to go back now and finish 60 and then finish the next 75 on the snatch. So just want to give you a heads up, man. It's like, if you make a commitment to finish a workout, regardless of what happens, it's my fault that I didn't time it effectively. But if I made that commitment, I should go finish that commitment.
Oh man. You see, I don't know. Like, do you have to go finish that commitment? Like,
that's the way I feel.
But here's the thing. I think it goes back to, it's an interesting, because it kind of goes back to our conversation, because why do you need to go back and finish that commitment? And are you putting that in front of, and that this is assuming that you don't have other important things that you have to go do that this would detract from. But I think like that lack of flexibility, it's like what we talked about with the books, right? Like if you start a book and it's just not great, why do some of us get caught up in the fact that you have to finish the book versus saying like, hey, like this book isn't doing it for me, like move on to the next one. I think sometimes people do get caught up in the fact that like there's something to be said about like finishing that commitment. Also, because I think that workouts are something that you're very comfortable with. So it's very easy for you to say, hey, I'm going to finish this commitment where, you know, maybe if you dig down deep enough, there's something you can use that time for that would actually maybe be a little more uncomfortable for you, but would be a better use of your time. And I'm just using you as an example because you brought that up. But I think it's interesting to play devil's advocate to this idea of like, well, if you committed to something, you have to go finish it, versus like being practical about what is my goal to get done today? And is that commitment helping me get to that goal? Or is there something else that I can use the time of not committing to that that gets me even further to what my end goal is? And being like brutally honest about what the answer to that question is, which I don't think enough people are, me included.
But it's like, you know, for me, it's like, I really hold myself accountable that if I make a commitment, I'm going to finish it. And in particular with workouts in particular. And I feel like it carries over in other areas. Yeah, it needs to carry over in other areas. But like, for example, if I commit to a 12-minute EMOM and it sucks, I'm still finishing the 12-minute EMOM, because if I give in on that 12-minute EMOM, like the next work I might give in on, the next work I might give in on. But if I make a commitment to myself to finish this bulk of work, I want to be able to fulfill it. That's important to me.
Sure. Sure. And I think that that's all well and good. And again, I'm not saying that this is necessarily true for you, but I wonder for how many people it's just because that's always the really easy commitment 100% to stick through. Yeah. And it allows you to like, oh, I stick to all my commitments. I wonder what other things are commitments that fizzle out. And it's because you're again reaching into your discipline bucket for the thing that like, I mean, do you really need to finish a workout? Like, do you, right? Like, is that going to impact your fitness, your like energy levels for the day? I mean, maybe on like a psychological perspective, but I would argue that you don't need to finish that workout. You're not gonna, you know, miss your fitness dose for the day. I think it's interesting. It's something I've been thinking a lot about, because I've been doing a lot of self-reflection about like, what things do I say I'm super disciplined and I stay committed to? And what things do I then not commit to because I'm so focused on like sticking to the easy things?
Yeah. I mean, that's a deep internal question for a sauna session.
Dude, I'm a deep internal guy.
But yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's like, I made a commitment to myself to do it and I feel like I need to do it. And then I also made a commitment to like one of our coaches that I was going to complete it and I didn't do it. And I don't want to lose that capital. Plus I might actually try and share it on social media. So I don't want to be that guy who puts up a workout who didn't actually do it. So for all those reasons, I'm going to go hit this workout, but I hear what you're saying, and it's something I should be thinking about.
Always here to help.
Always here to help. Well, team, really appreciate you guys always listening to these episodes. You know, we're really looking to put some fuel to the fire on the podcast. Expect some better, more, a different evolution of the podcast over time, because we're never settling. Simple ask from you guys. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. Definitely helps out the podcast. And hit us up on social if you get value out of these. You know, it's been really cool. Anytime we're out places, people hit us up all the time about these things, but then they don't talk to us that much on social. So hit us up on social. We'd really appreciate it. And any final words, Gabe?
No, we can save this for next week, but I wrote down this question of like, is everyone getting rhabdo now? And it's just personally, like I went over, and I feel like I'm opening a whole can of worms. I went like over a decade without knowing anybody that like first degree of separation that got rhabdo. It was always like a friend of a friend of a friend who like heard someone got rhabdo. And like in the past 2 months, two people that I know have gotten rhabdo. Recently, my buddy who got it actually doing Murph. So I was just like, I was more thinking out loud of like, is it gotten to the point now where there's like a larger group of people that used to do a lot of CrossFit have kind of stopped, so they're not like trained to that volume and are now more susceptible to like quote unquote jumping back in, and they have the skills, they can do butterfly pull-ups, they can like, you know, they can get the work done, they can tap in, but they're not necessarily as trained as they used to be. And you know, there's like more of that happening. Again, super anecdotal, just because like in my life, like I knew no one, and now it's been like two people, which seems like a lot. So anyway, just wanted to put that out there, but we can talk about it next time.
Dude, yeah, I think it's a really good topic conversation. shit, sometimes I feel like I fall into that category, like, because I got a throttle button, but my body sometimes, that, you know, I've been doing a lot of jujitsu, lighter loads, blah, blah,
you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Cause if you do have that throttle button and you have the ability to, like, you know, do certain movements that, like, you know, you can kip your way through a bunch of pull-ups, right? If you're really good at that movement, you can mess yourself up, dude. You can mess yourself up big time.
Yeah. Almost like doing 100 toes to bar. I mean, who the hell would want to go do that?
Yeah. Almost like that.
Yeah. All right, brother. Well, hey, let's save the rhabdo conversation for next time. I think that's going to be a really good one. Also, just make sure that you're hitting us up with the Yeti question of the day. And dude, we'll be out and about. I'm like 97% sure I'll be at the CrossFit game. So if you're out there, come say what's up. But keep crushing it. Keep getting after it. We'll see you again next week.